it's obligatory at this point. It is obligatory. Bam, 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 bam. That's the intro music, courtesy of Earl, the Earl Foot Band. Earl's living down in Tampa, Florida, and he wrote the unbelievable song Closer to the End. This is the background music to it. Thanks for joining us on the Gloucestercast. It's October 11th, 2015. We are joined by Kim Smith.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Donna Adazzoni from Suburb of Massachusetts.
Good morning, Gloucester.
And Toby Pett.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Karen Pischke was supposed to be here, but she's either incapacitated. I hope she didn't get in a car crash on the way over, because she said she was supposed to be here. I don't know what happened to her. Karen Pischke is...
we'll keep an eye on her.
Dreamtime Wellness, I think it is.
Yes.
She does a lot of that holistic...
She does wonderful posts.
Yeah, her posts on Cape Ann Wellness, which I reblog over to Good Morning Gloucester, are very detailed, formatted perfectly. I could... Like, she... when you see Karen, she doesn't seem like a type A personality, but her posts are type A posts.
And she is so good volunteering her time for, like, the Relay for Life, doing her Reiki with cancer people, and Reed's Ride, and she does a lot of that.
That's wonderful to know that.
Yeah.
Dreamtime Wellness. So if you're stressed out, I bet she'd be a good person to go see. I want to announce the winner of last week's Please Take This Art Rocks Glass Off My Cluttered Desk Holly Walnuts wine glass. And the winner is Bernice Blitz. Bernice Blitz of the tribe, Toby.
Yeah, a member of the tribe.
A member of the tribe, yeah. Bernice, Atlantic Road?
Atlantic Road, yeah.
Atlantic Road, yeah. The Yellow House, beautiful house. Yeah. Nice family.
Great family. Was the Coalfield before...
That's a beautiful glass.
They bought it. The Coalfield family used to own it.
That's fantastic.
If you know the history.
But there you go. Bernice Blitz, you or one of your family members, come down to Captain Joe and Sons. It's on my desk. Please take it away.
What?
Polly gave this to me about a month ago as a prize, a podcast subscriber prize or whatever.
Wouldn't it be great to have a whole set of these? I mean,
it'd be wonderful. More clever. He emailed me once a week, every week, saying, "What, my prize isn't good enough for you?" Because I kept forgetting to put it on.
He's been off his meds.
He's been posting some cool stuff, and that's Paul. Well, we can't talk about Paulie Walnuts being on his meds. If anybody can figure that out by now, Donna.
I love Paulie Walnuts. I always laugh at his posts.
Yeah, he likes to bust my chops.
He's a fun guy. He's had a little stress in his life, so I suppose we can hug him and forgive him.
Let's hug it out.
The
big news of the week, as far as I'm concerned, is this coyote attack. Because I feel like the blog has... We probably do more posts about coyotes and coyote sightings than any other publication. I mean, do you think there's another website that does as much?
No.
I don't know if there's other communities that have coyotes the way we're filthy with coyotes, or there's another blog that talks about coyotes the way we do. And maybe it's because I live in between the sanding fields and the Bass Rocks Golf Course, where they say the two predominant packs live in Gloucester.
That's
so I see them all the time.
That's wild.
It's crazy because...
I'm gonna let Kim talk about the post and explain how it went, and then I'm gonna give a little bit of my.
You want me to reiterate what was?
Yeah,
reiterate. A woman who, unfortunately asked to have her name removed. I guess I have to say that because some of the negativity.
Because of the crazy coyote lovers.
Yeah, because...
Because the crazy coyote lovers are second only to the crazy fluoride people. And the level of craziness in the rabidness of the fans of coyotes is number one. The number two... The number one rabid people are the fluoride, anti-fluoride people. Number two are coyote lovers. Number three... Where are we going with this? Sea shanty singers? Defensive sea shanty singers?
No, don't do that.
It's awful. People know I'm joking.
Right,
okay, go ahead. Tell the story, though.
Okay, so she was out early, very early in the morning, sitting on a little chair, curled up on a chair, and a coyote jumped on her back. And she described it to me on the phone. She hit it, and she shot up when it leaped on her back. She shot up, which, you know, and kind of flailed her arms and punched it and hit it, and it retreated. Only she grabbed a broom. She started, when she grabbed the broom, her truck key, it hit her truck's key fob, so the alarm went off. So the coyote scurried off into the brush, but it was just sitting there looking at her, and she was throwing rocks at it, screaming more, and it just stayed there for some time. So
when it jumped on, it drooled on her.
She said smell was just horrendous. She had on a very thick polar fleece, so I think that protected her somewhat. But I mean, to me, it sounds like the coyote was thought she was a much smaller creature, because she was kind of curled up and was sort of testing the waters. That's how it sounds to me. Like, because, or he's, you know, rabid.
All the coyote experts, which none of us are coyote experts, you know, come out of the woodwork during, you know, whenever there's a coyote thing. And the general thought is that it's rabid. And the reason why people say that it's come right out and say that it must be rabid is, I probably had 10 coyote, maybe 10, 15 coyote encounters where they were within, 30 yards of me in my lifetime. And every time, a coyote is near me and I'm outside of my car, it never comes toward me. It scurries off into the woods. And, you know, they generally don't hang around. So,
when the coyote had my cat, I was 3 feet away from it. And but I was screaming and yelling at it. I knew it had an animal. I didn't know it had my cat at that time. And by being very loud and very screaming, it dropped my cat.
Yeah.
I found out with my cat and ran off. So,
yeah.
You know, that is more, I feel like
normal
that is
behavior.
More typical coyote
normal
behavior. Right.
And so all these years I've gone back and forth on my stance on the coyotes.
Yeah.
The general comments that we usually get whenever there's a coyote post is you have the people, there's the polar opposites.
Right.
And there's the people that want to eradicate all the coyotes. There's the people that think that you can round them up and ship them off to Canada.
Right, somewhere.
Or wherever. And then there's the people that, you know, come out and say, oh, this was their land before us, so we need to respect them and let them live and whatever. In the beginning, and everybody knows I'm not a huge nature guy. It's just not me. But in the beginning, I was of the ilk of, if it's gonna, you know, if there's a threat that it's gonna harm a child,
right.
And this is like 7-8 years ago, then we need to do something about it. And then this is like, I hadn't seen a coyote before like 8 or 9 years ago. Around here.
No,
and then
it's a recent,
and it's like almost like coincides with the blog. And like when we started the blog, the coyote population has just kind of exploded. So I went from, we should eradicate them because that's just my initial fear of speaking, to having all these experiences with them where they just kind of went off. So I went the other way, saying, you know, live and let live. Right. You know, they're part of our surroundings. We have to respect them and everything else. And my theory was, people that want to eradicate them are the ones that are wrong, because my theory was, if someone got attacked by a coyote, it would be on the news. Every news station would cover it, and it would be a top page above the fold news story.
Mm-hmm.
So, and because I haven't heard of any of these, I just assume that they really don't want to have anything to do with us. So now where am I at?
Right, this changes things.
Now I'm like, where am I at now? Like, you know, what do you do?
I feel like I think this is an extreme
circumstance.
But I also feel like they're getting increasingly emboldened, and they're like children, so they're kind of like testing the waters a little bit more. So I think the very first step would be to develop a study to, you know, see, or there must be some way to tag them, or just to find out more about them. And
for the last 2 years, haven't every time there been some coyote thing, haven't I said, like when the coyote got shot, they had to put it down at East Gloucester School. Remember that one?
Yes, yeah.
So that was the last closest call with humanity that we had. Right. So since then, I've been saying, you know, all the money that they put towards, you know, tracking lobsters and tracking codfish and everything else, like the environmental things,
just
carve out a little bit of money, please, and track, you know, please put someone on this, because there is something going on,
right, there is
huge, ecologically, is that the right word, ecologically?
Yes, yeah.
So we can have benchmarks,
right.
And you know,
the predators, like, you know.
I'd like to send some drones out, like, up over their dens, and just to kind of, like, study what the hell's going on, right?
Awesome,
we got drones now.
Right, wow, that's an awesome idea.
And I think, though, we still have to find out why they're surviving without a predator. It's...
Why they're surviving? They're great.
They are the predator. You know, like the fisher cats. Like,
there's plenty of food. The bunny rabbits. There's a million bunny rabbits around.
Well, they're not the best hunters of bunny rabbits. Yeah. So
are they the best hunters? Oh, they're scavengers.
They're scavengers. Yeah, they're scavengers. That's why we have so many. That's why we have so fewer fox now, because they in our area, in the East Gloucester area, they've outcompeted the fox for habitat. So we have far fewer fox, and that's why we have a bunny, white-footed mouse, and chipmunk explosion right now.
Chipmunks.
So who's eating the Geico rabbits? Geico bunnies, the ones that the little, run in front of our cars all the time.
We don't have. Fox were their greatest predators. Right. We don't have fox, or we have far fewer fox in our area.
But we have fox in Magnolia.
And you have far fewer coyotes.
We have fisher cats.
Right.
So there's that balance.
Wild thing.
Right.
Yes. And the fox, though, are very mild. I mean, there's the den not too far from me. That's the babies.
I think we should just put hotels everywhere, and I just want to go from hotel to hotel.
I'm with you.
I want to have nice dining and a nice place.
I mean,
that's how I want to live my life. I always hang out in nice, posh hotels. Can you do that? Screw this nature stuff. I'm going to get eaten by a coyote. Don, I would talk. We're going to go. Okay. Does anybody have anything else?
Well, I just want to say, you know, we're glad Lynn is okay. And
we don't know her name. Yeah. You didn't say her last name, so you don't have to think that.
We're glad our friend is okay. Yeah, we're glad our friend is okay.
There you go. And my buddy Tony just came in. Tony's a fisherman, and he sent in one of the most popular posts of all of the summer. He was on the Susan and Kimberly, and Tony, explain his experience, the cool experience you had that you put on Facebook and we put on the blog.
It was just a seal. He was swimming around the boat.
Oh, I love that story.
Yeah, it was unusual because they don't really want to come near us, especially when we're hauling gear. So, I guess, long story short, he just wanted to come aboard. He kept swimming to the stern, putting his fins on there.
So I should explain. So the stern of the Susan and Kimberly is a cutout stern.
Okay.
So it's only like maybe a foot out of the water.
Right.
So the seal was kind of like putting his flippers up onto the thing, trying to get up on it. Like, unheard of, right? I've never heard of this in my entire life, right?
Yeah.
Okay, continue, Tony.
Yeah, Tom said Tom's been fishing a long time, I believe like 30, 40 years, and he's never seen anything like that. So
you helped the seal aboard?
Yeah, I helped him aboard.
Oh, I love
and
you
so
for
then,
that.
So then what did he do? Did he just, like, rest and hang out for a while?
But before he kept swimming around. We got him aboard. But after that, he didn't want to be touched. He actually, he didn't want anyone to go near him. He's growling.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's
growling. Oh, I didn't know that part.
He didn't help you bait the traps.
You know what? It must be something what they do on the beach. It's called hauling out, and they do it because they're either tired and they need rest, or there's sharks in the water, or some other kind of predator that makes them fearful. So
I was assuming. I assumed, and again, as a non-nature person, just talking out of his ass, I just assumed that a shark was chasing him around.
Yeah.
He wanted to get out of the water.
Yeah.
I think that's the sweetest thing, though.
Yeah.
Because I love all that stuff.
I love all that stuff. Tony, they got a lot of seals in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Wow. We didn't have seals in Somerville. No. Or coyotes.
How long did he stay on the boat for?
Oh, he wanted to stay on there all day. We had him on there 10 minutes, and then we coaxed him into the water. But Yeah, he just looked. He looked like a puppy when you know.
The big eyes.
The big eyes.
Yeah, he looked like a puppy, very nice. But then, when you went to touch him,
oh no!
Like I went to pet him. You know, he let me touch him on his sides to get him aboard, and then when I went to touch him, he gives you the nice look. And then,
they got teeth, right?
Yeah, it looked like a German Shepherd.
Yeah. But they get stressed if you go too close to them.
Yeah.
And they bark or they growl.
Yeah, he was growling. I forget the noise exactly, but I'll never forget it. You know, it's like, I don't know exactly what it was, but he was...
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I think it's very kind that you do that.
Yeah.
So we got on Facebook we got tagged. So 3 days before the preliminary election, which was going to determine, there was two things was going to determine. There was going to get down Greg Verga, Safatia, and Paul McGeary. They were going to get down to two. Oh yeah,
and Sclafani the other two. And Repaired.
Okay. We're going to get down to two, and then the East Gloucester, Rebecca Borden. Rebecca Borden, Scott Memhard, and Everett Brown. We're going to get down to two. Before this happened, because I liked all three of our. I felt like any one of these candidates that doesn't make it to the mayor. The two obviously aren't going to end up being mayor. They can't run for city councilor on the ticket, but they can run a write-in campaign. So I reached out to all, I CC'd all three candidates and said, whatever happens after the preliminary election, whoever gets bounced out, I want to offer you to announce on Good Morning Gloucester
that
you're going to pursue a writing campaign, because we're going to lose some good knowledge and some rational human beings on the council because three people that we're going to lose that were all good counselors. So Greg Verga yesterday put on his Facebook page that I had. Extended this invitation, and what do people think? So, if people want to see Greg in a write-in campaign, you can go to his Facebook page.
Oh, good to know that.
I do not endorse or non-endorse any candidates. This is just information for people.
That's great to know that.
So there's that. Yesterday, Kim and I, at different times, went to see the new Johnny Depp Black Mass movie.
Incredible.
Chilling.
Incredible.
Chilling. Yeah. It's funny because Toby saw it and he said it was incredible. Yeah. And it was getting mixed reviews. I could not fathom how you could have mixed reviews on that movie.
No, it was incredible.
Chilling performance.
Yeah.
I think people went to it expecting Goodfellas, which had comedic, elements to it. Mm-hmm.
Or The Departed, right?
Yeah,
I think
that even The Godfather.
It was told very bare bones in a really good way. I thought it was
chilling.
Flashbacks.
It was very
even if people who lived in South Boston. I don't know if anybody ever read that book, All Souls. It was about Whitey Bulger, and what Whitey Bulger was a horrible man and is, but the people of South Boston felt like he protected the young people down there, and there was that, and I think people a little bit, when Johnny Depp said his business was awful, but he had this other side of him.
Yeah, the great PR machine.
But if you read this book, All Souls, you will see how Whitey Bulger.
You'll see that other side.
Yeah, but he really wasn't a nice man.
No, it was all a facade.
I think
Black Mass is the book that I read, which was the movie was based on.
Right.
And I remember reading the book and saying, oh my God, this would make an incredible movie. Then I found out it was being made. I'm like, I'm going to see that the day it comes out. And finally I got to it, and it was. It's a must watch. Johnny Depp has to get the best out of it.
You will never know you are watching Johnny Depp.
Never. Never have a hint of Jack Sparrow or any of his other Edward Scissorhands.
Edward Scissorhands.
No clue. Those eyes, oh my God, chilling. Chilling. Yeah.
And also the way they filmed it, everybody's skin looked really grainy and rough.
God,
it was,
very gritty.
Yeah.
Very gritty. Toby.
The scene where the guy's in the peanut bowl.
Oh, yeah. In the beginning,
oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that was really...
I mean, that was...
set the tone for the whole movie.
Yeah, it did.
Unbelievable.
It really did,
set the tone
it?
For the whole movie. And then the other scene when they're at the dinner table, which is the clip that we saw 6 months ago, and, you know, talking about the guy gave up the recipe, the family secret recipe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, that kind of people are scary.
I can't believe that some of those guys are walking the streets as healthy. Like, Weeks is... Kevin Weeks.
Kevin the Rifleman Fleming?
No.
Yeah.
He's still in jail.
Steve the Rifleman.
Yeah, well, that's Fleming. His handle. Yeah.
I wonder what he did.
That guy was... She's the one that messed around with his stepdaughter. He was the sickest one out of all of them. I think he was more sick than Whitey.
I thought the accents were superlative. Like usually people butcher.
How about Edgerton's performance as Connolly?
To your point though, 99 out of 100 movies based out of Boston, the accents are fucking horrible.
Well,
this one was great.
Yeah, this one was great. And Tom heard on Stephen Colbert that Johnny Depp was said that he learned his accent from Joe Perry. He's been hanging out with Joe Perry from Aerosmith.
You know, they dress alike. Yeah. They both have that pirate fucking bullshit that they wear all the time with the eye mascara.
Yeah, but
stuff
I thought
that
was interesting because Joe Perry does have a Boston accent, but it's not like Johnny Depp's wasn't over the top. You know what I mean?
No,
It was very authentic. They were all did a very good job on them.
It was fun, you know, one of the people that had said that he didn't like it because it was for one reason or another, all the reasons that he gave why he didn't like it, I totally dismissive of.
But a movie like that, that kind of criminal type of thing, they could be in church receiving communion and having somebody being killed.
Back in the early 90s, I was into these true crime books, like the John Gotti's book, there was a whole bunch of them. They came out all bing, 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 because it was right after Gotti they were trying to convict him and everything else. All these books were coming out. And I got into four of them. And Black Mass was the last one I read. And the reason I stopped reading them was because it was all true crime, you know, backed up by reports and everything else. And it made me so cynical and so disgusted in the human condition that it made you lose a little faith in humanity. Yeah. By reading these books, I'm like, I'm done with this. Right. Like, I'm looking at everybody out of the corner of my eye. It's
time miserable. For Sweet Valley High books again.
Really? Like, just terrible, you know? Yeah. Terrible
because
people.
It's that narcissistic thing.
It's
that
not
goes
something,
on.
Yeah, like you could read one periodically, but not a slew of them in a row like that. Yeah.
Because it makes you look at your neighbor.
So I started this new website because what else do I do but start new websites? but there's a reason behind the logic of it, and it's taking the community calendar theme of these community organizations being able to post directly to the blog, their dates on the calendar, and allowing them to post their press releases directly to. So I set up another blog. It's Cape Ann Community. These organizations, and it's not for businesses, it's not for musicians, it's not for artists. It's only for nonprofits like museums. Schools.
How do you find it? Where is it?
Well, they don't need to find it. The idea is, I don't even want people, I don't care that people visit capeandcommunity.com. All it is an aggregation spot for these organizations
to post. It's not connected to the blog? Sorry.
Please.
Sorry.
So they can post directly to it. Okay. Like the Sawyer Free Library can post directly to capeandcommunity.blog, that blog. All that I have to do after that is hit the reblog button, it ports over to Good Morning Gloucester.
Oh, okay.
So it takes the level of stuff that I have to edit off of my plate and allows people to do their own editing and submissions.
Great.
Do you understand what I'm saying when I say I don't care if people go to Cape Ann Community? It's just a portal for these people. Because they're not going to be all contributors directly to Good Morning Gloucester because they could spam the hell out of us. Yeah. Each one of these community organizations is allowed one post a week to for all the upcoming events for the week or whatever, and then I'll hit the reblog button.
The Magnolia Library, the Magnolia Historical Society.
Absolutely. All welcome to just have them send me an email. I haven't got, I didn't put them in the, I sent an email to like the Cape Ann Art Haven. Like even, you know, oh God, the Sargent House Museum, Maritime, Gloucester, all these organizations that send us, and we're happy they're sending us press releases. Yeah, but instead of sending it to me in an email, just create a post for yourself, and then I'll reblog it.
I'll send you the Magnolia people.
Send me their thing, and I will just send them the form, because all I have to do is invite them, accept the thing, and then they just have to learn how to compose a blog post, which is not that difficult.
Yeah.
So there you go. Right?
It's a great idea.
Good idea, right?
Yeah. Then everything is more...
So if you have a community organization that is not a business, that is, you know, a non-profit thing, you can send your stuff there. You just need to get contact with me with the email address that you want to use for a user account, which is free. I'm not charging people. Okay. This is something that was interesting to me. Maybe this belongs on the Homie Cast, but I'm going to bring it up here. John Cougar Mellencamp, who is 64 years old, is now dating, we just found out, Christie Brinkley, 61 years old, who looks phenomenal. And whoever her plastic surgeon is, is on, and I'm not joking when I say it has to be, should get the Gold Star Award, the best plastic surgeon in the world, because so much plastic surgery is so terrible.
It's so terrible.
Yeah.
That you can't tell, like the pictures that I see of Christie Brinkley, she does not look like she has had... She doesn't look like she's had any plastic surgery at all. But the point that I'm going with this is, like, John Cougar Mellencamp was around in the early days of MTV.
Yes.
And the big contracts of you know, when there was still huge money to be made in the music industry. And he was there when he was making money and presumably could invest in the stock market, where that period of time, like 80s to 2000, multiple times over, their money quadrupled or whatever. So the question I have is, this guy could, you know, he's got plenty of money, he's still fame, everything else, right? He could be with any woman in the world, right? Why did these guys, you have to assume that when you have that kind of fame, as a woman or a man, right? The famous person has a staff around them and people around them coddling them and telling them how wonderful they are, and it is the rare star that doesn't develop a diva-like attitude, right? So the point that I'm going to is, why would a guy that has star power and tons of money get involved with a woman that presumably has so, like, is gonna... I have to imagine she's a fucking major pain in the ass. Instead of like dating some, like, you know, 35-year-old, you know, whatever,
even
age appropriate woman, but like that doesn't have the fame and hasn't been coddled all her life and is a total pain in the ass. So your thoughts?
Okay, well, you're looking right at me, so I'll say, you know, I think, you know, perhaps...
Do you think I'm passing judgment on Christie Brinkley too soon?
Well, no, but I'm just saying, you know, people...
Or do you think there's credence in my theory?
Well, I think that he could be very attracted to her because she's very smart, very bright. She's beautiful. She's very talented. She could be... She's bringing a lot to the relationship. So I think
Don't you think there's a lot of other women, the women that could bring a lot to the relationship without being a diva?
Well, we don't know she's a diva. We don't know
she's a diva.
We don't know she's a diva.
She's still very friendly with her ex, Billy Joel.
Right. You know,
she's very...
She seems like a very...
$50 million, you got 50 million reasons to be friendly with Billy Joel.
They also have a child.
Seems like a very, very together woman. And I think she'd bring a lot to the relationship.
I do, too. And she's in that commercial of... Remember in... vacation, one of those vacations, and Chevy Chase was looking at the blonde in the red convertible.
Oh, yeah, that's,
and now there's a new commercial, and she's the wife. She goes, really? A blonde in a red convertible?
And she, and there but, she is looking
and there
so beautiful.
She is, and she knows that she's 60-something years old.
She looks tremendous.
She does.
Tony, how do you feel about this?
What, the good-looking older women?
He's following.
No, John. He probably does, he's so young. He probably doesn't know who John Cougar Mellencamp is. Do you know who John Cougar Mellencamp is?
I don't think so.
Yeah, no. Okay. He was in the beginning of MTV. He was like a big like video
big
star. Like he probably had like 3 or 4 huge selling albums, tons of money.
Do you know who Christy Brinkley is?
Do you know who Christy Brinkley?
If I seen, was she in?
Oh my God!
Chevy Chase in that movie.
She was with Chevy Chase, but not only that, she was the first
supermodel.
She was the first like Sports Illustrated when Sports Illustrated cover model was the biggest deal.
The swimsuit edition.
The swimsuit edition. She was the cover model of that edition when that was like the number one model in the world. Would like were launched from this magazine.
Also, she was married to Billy Joel, and she was in his video Uptown Girl.
So anyway, going to Toby, I clearly
you know, John Cougar Mellencamp, like you said, with his talent, his money, he could probably whoever he's going to be with is going to be a smoke show. The fact that he's chosen Christy Brinkley, who's a few years older than you would expect him to be with,
I should say this, you guys keep going to the age. I'm not saying because she's old at all. You guys don't mistake my words. I do not want to be misrepresented on this. I'm talking about she's gorgeous. She's mm-hmm. still a 10. I'm saying that why would you want to be with someone not baggage? I am saying she has been coddled. Like when you have this amount of fame and this, she has this amount of money and this amount of staff around her wiping her ass all day long and telling her how wonderful she is all day long. Listen to me and let me finish the subject, please. Then you are skewed like Michael Jackson. Your sense of reality is skewed. You become narcissistic and everything else. As opposed to dating someone that is going to be used to having their needs put before everyone else's, why wouldn't you date a girl that is every bit as beautiful, can be 62 years old, but hasn't presumably have this warped sense of reality? And maybe he has, and this goes the other way. The way I said this can go the other way. What does Christy Brinkley want to do? Why isn't she with some guy that doesn't have all the fame and can would just treat her like a
princess?
And he's like
had his issues by changing his name a couple of times. He was John.
So that's the point, Toby. Not that she's old. Is that why would you want to be with her, knowing that she's probably diva-like?
I don't have the answer. What I was going to say is there are precedents. I mean, Paulina Porizkova, who was a huge model,
Rick Ocasek,
is married to Rick Ocasek. Correct. Clearly, Billy Joel was with Christy at a time that I think they had an understanding and appreciation for their popularity and found solace.
That didn't work
and
out.
Comfort. Okay, yeah, but and what's his name from Aerosmith? He was married to a playmate of the year. So
Steve
didn't work out. Are they still married?
No, they're divorced.
Well, just proving the point the other way then.
But I'm just saying that we don't know how long this relationship is going to last. But I'm saying there's an attraction sometimes because these people have an understanding and appreciation of the fact that everyone is fawning all over them, and they need to be with somebody who's been fawned over so that they can feel some comfort.
That's a theory.
Yeah,
that's my point. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And also, they may, you know, I don't know, I just think that they both may be less diva-like than we think because they've both been working. I mean, Christie Brinkley was in a Broadway play for, and it had a very long run, so, you know.
But when you say you're working, right, when you're being able to be creative and you have an audience and people, like your work, when we say work, right. Like that's like saying right. that the blog is work for us.
Right.
We enjoy it.
We enjoy
not,
it.
You know, that's
right.
you would do it for no money, and
right.
you do it
do
no,
do.
For no money. You do do it for
Did
no.
I forget
money.
Something?
You do do it for no money, and so
right.
when you say work,
right.
it's being you know having an opportunity to be relevant and
to enjoy yeah. what she's doing. I mean, yeah. I think that we might be judging Christie Brinkley because. Unfortunately, none of us know her, you know.
No, but we don't know John
exactly.
Mellencamp either.
And
no.
I think when I look at Christie Brinkley, I see someone who's stunning.
She's
and
gorgeous.
Funny.
I'm talking, you know, and when people say this, the feminists are going to go, it's because then it could be a man.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it could be this could be an incredible athlete that happens to be a good looking athlete. Like, another woman that's a very successful woman. Why do they want to be with this guy as opposed to a guy that you know can not have all that going on and really be more part of her life than have to?
But I think you know, if you're going to be with someone, you need to understand fame. I mean, it's a tough thing when if you're
sure.
married or going out with someone who's very very famous, and you how do you handle all that?
Well, I think partly. Also, part of the reason why Tom Brady's with Giselle, it's the same thing. Who is she going to be with? She's a superstar. She needs to be with somebody who's
she makes more money than him.
Has some understanding of what's going on in her life.
Well, that is an excellent example that goes contrary to what my belief is because my theory was like 5 years ago, whatever when they got together. Was that he is going to be all done because her demands of his time and his mental focus because she's such a huge star and everything else are going to distract him from football and to compete at that level, my theory was that you can't have any distractions, that you need to have a wife that's going to be like understand that his position in football and that he needs to be able to focus on football.
Right.
And I was 100% incorrect.
Right.
You know what I mean? I can admit when I'm wrong.
Right.
That's why we're having this conversation.
Right.
And that conversation brought about a perfect counter example to my theory in the first place.
And she makes more money than he does.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. So
I don't think Tom Brady, I don't think either one of them is concerned
cool.
about money.
But that's a very interesting fact that she makes a lot more money than he does, even though she's not on the runway anymore.
Yeah, well, there you go.
And a mother of two.
Moving on to the next subject. Kim went to the mayoral debate on the arts and culture.
Yeah, it was held at Gloucester Stage and... they just do
was it. Well attended.
It was very very well attended. Yeah. I'd say you know 3/4 of the house was full, which is pretty good for a local debate. And
you said both candidates gave good.
They were both awesome. They both gave really good responses. It was very very interesting, and the and they were very welcoming at the Gloucester Stage. It was pretty. I love it when they have the debates there because it's you know it's the right venue to have debates. They did, and both candidates were outstanding, very well spoken.
I feel like we're in a win-win situation for mayor. I'm worried about the council.
Yeah.
But whatever.
We're losing those
people, but yeah. So that's good. So were there any now when you have a thing about the arts and culture? Are there any hard hitting questions there, or is it all?
Well,
or do they try to? Do they try to formulate questions that are going to pin candidates to commitments on financing certain things?
No, they didn't do that. They talked about, because it's become so increasingly important in Gloucester, there were a lot of arts communities there who had brought the brought it together. I'm trying to think, like the Rocky Neck Cultural Center, Sea Arts. So, and it's become increasingly tied with the Tourist Bureau as well. So I think that it was mostly focusing about arts in the school and how we can improve arts in the school and how we can bring arts more to the forefront to help our economic engine, basically. So there was
probably worried about them cutting out arts. You know, all these programs, they start cutting out, you know, it's easy.
Well, they did talk about art in the cart, which is because a lot of Gloucester classrooms have lost their actual physical art rooms because of growing school population. So Art in the Cart is very successful. However, we want to also, you know, perhaps reinstate some of these art rooms and things like that. So, you know, it was very, very informative just about arts in general throughout the city.
Thanks for that report.
It was good.
Toby wanted to talk about Ben Richardson.
Yeah. Ben Richardson is a Gloucester native, 40-year-old man, married, got a kid.
He's only 40?
Only 40.
Jesus, all these people that are doing big things and they're younger than me now.
Hey, what?
40 years old?
Well,
I thought everybody was supposed to be awake, like 20 years older than me to be relevant.
Ben is very relevant.
I guess the hell he is.
Ben's a Gloucester native.
Where did he grow up?
Over by Stagefoot Park.
Okay. And where did he...
Just to tie it in even... To make it a smaller world, his mother was one of my babysitters, so okay. I have a connection.
You got your name dropping in there, so it's all good.
No. Yeah. No, but I'm just saying it's an interesting tie-in. But Ben is somebody who I sail with on occasion. Ben is an extremely accomplished sailor. He's won regional titles, national titles, and he's actually won a world title.
Is there a certain class of boat that he's finished?
All different classes.
Okay.
But he won the world class, so people know what's going to happen with him.
Right.
The world class was in the laser, just so he is the chairman of U.S. sailing for the Olympics.
Wow.
So whatever sport you particularly care for that you look at the Olympics for, to think that the person who's in charge of fielding that team is huge, and it's a Gloucester native.
Wow. That is amazing to me, because when you think of U.S. sailing, you think of San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Is it San Diego?
San Diego
and Newport, Rhode Island.
Right.
Those are the two meccas, right?
Right.
They're probably some place down in D.C.
Also.
Annapolis.
Mm-hmm.
But to think of a guy that has Gloucester roots.
Grown up in Gloucester.
That's amazing.
Wow.
And so what is he? What capacity will he? He selects the crew.
He's chairman of the committee. All right. So the committee is responsible for fielding the team. In the Olympics, there's certain designs of boats. Okay, that we need to field a team, and it may be only one team, or we may be allowed to field a couple. So there are a bunch of regattas where these sailors crew against each other and try to achieve greatness, and they get selected. And
the crew.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's the next question. So he's responsible for selecting the crew in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Is it like? Is it called the World Cup? What is the one that we do over the world, the big sailing race?
The America's Dennis Cup?
America's Cup, right? In that, hold up, please let me finish.
Okay.
You know how it's just as much money as they want to spend on the boats is whatever technology they can afford to field this boat. There's certain parameters, but it's whatever boat each team fields. Let me finish now. In the Olympics, are they all sailing in the same boats, or is it a race of technology?
The America's Cup, which you talked about, is a private event. Just hang on. All right, and the people who field it make a decision on what style of yacht they're going to use. In the Olympics, to contrast that, there are certain classes. For example, they'll select a specific.
Are they the same boats that they're racing? So the U.S. team that's racing against Greece, is it the same boat that they're racing in?
It's a class, yes, but there are different classes, Joey. I'm sorry that you don't understand it.
In each class, is the guy from the United States racing again in the same boat.
Raise your voice to me.
Okay, I won't raise my voice. I'm trying to get to the point.
I understand.
The point that I'm trying to get at, and I think that you know this, and that's why I'm a little frustrated.
No, I don't.
Is in the same race, this particular race, is this boat identical to this boat? And it's not a technological race.
It is built to the same specifications.
That's the point that I was trying to get at. Thank you so much. Thank you. That's what I wanted. That was that we had to go around and around and around. Now, I understand there's different classes, and the different boats and the different classes are different, but within that race, for each different class, they're the same boats, so, right?
Yes, but what right, you need to point. Understand...
That's
what
I wanted to get to, the difference between the America's Cup and the United
I'm
States.
Done. See you later.
The point that I was
I
trying
am
to...
done.
Okay, you're done. But if you would have just answered that, we would have been done a lot
was
easier.
I trying to answer it, Joe.
Okay. So, Ben Richardson, congratulations.
I'm not going to do it.
I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm trying to get to the point of...
See you.
All right, have a great day. So, the power move of Eric Lorden. Eric Lorden got a pool table.
I saw a picture of that.
I was like, men and their toys.
Can you imagine getting a pool table? Could you imagine? So Tom, your husband, Rick, or Tom comes home. Honey, I got this awesome deal on this
pool table.
On this pool table. And we're going to get rid of our dining room table. There's no kitchen table.
Right.
There's an island,
right.
where the Granite Island. That, there's a couple stools at. There's no kitchen table. There was a dining room table. Kim and Donna, we're going to replace our dining room table because I got an awesome deal on a pool table, and it's when you walk into the house, it's 5 feet steps from the front door.
Yeah.
How big would that go over in your house?
I don't know. No.
It wouldn't.
No.
I live near Rafe Chasm.
No,
guess where Rick would probably be.
I thought it was such a power move. I've never been so proud of a friend of my entire life.
We had one in our basement as kids.
So did I think my husband's family
did
too.
Yeah, we played pool as kids, but it didn't take over my kids.
It wasn't the dining room.
I think it is such...
And it's funny, though.
Listen, you know what he can still do? Like, if he wants to have a big dinner, he can put a board over the pool table and put a tablecloth over it.
No, and that's what he said. He says he's going to finish off a piece of really, finished plywood. And finish it off and put it over there so they can eat on it. But it's still at an awkward height. It's at an awkward height. So you know so the table's like at your just like 3 inches above your nipple. So you're eating like this, like you're all like children eating at the big person table.
I have to have telephones. Yeah, barstools.
Did his wife know he was going to get that?
Well, he's divorced. So touch a little bit, but yeah. But he has a girlfriend.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. So he's at the beginning stages of this relationship with this girlfriend. He's probably like 3 or 4 months in with this girlfriend. So like the power move is like, you know, and so they're at the honeymoon stage where like she has to act like the cool girl, right? That this isn't going to bother because it's his place and she has her place and he has his place. So like, you know, I'm in my head is 2 years into their relationship and he says he wants to do this, you know, like
that's
it's a whole different conversation from when, you know, 3 months in and she wants to still prove how she's the cool girlfriend. I don't have a problem with that. Of course you don't have a problem with that because you still want to be the cool girlfriend.
He's got to continue the power moves once a month.
But absolutely.
If he stops it,
then.
I mean, if he had a rumpus room, God, that's an old term, but if he had a playroom or a, you know, family room, you would buy a pool.
Yeah.
But you're taking over my...
I think it's so awesome.
Yeah. It is funny.
It's kind of like the bachelor place thing, right? It's a fun...
No. It isn't totally. It's actually a very nice place.
Well, I mean, I was laughing when I saw
not,
it.
It doesn't... He doesn't have Goodfellas posters on the wall and Tom Brady posters on the wall. It's nice art on the wall. And
but I was laughing when I saw it.
It's maintained.
I said to myself, Little boys. Just the size of the toys.
So have you had any pool matches over there?
No, he just got it put together. I'm working so much. I'm getting out of work late, going to work early. He had guys over the other night for Monday Night Football, and I'm too tired to do all this.
Yeah, really.
I got to wait till the winter to be able to be, to have human interactions again.
Cue balls and the little things. Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, I just want, can we go back to that conversation with Toby? You guys knew the point that I was getting at, right? Did you not know that I was trying to get together to the point of the America's Cup has the, it's really a race of money and technology.
Right, because it's
and,
private.
And
right.
Because it's private versus, is the point I'm trying to get, is the Olympics, they're all in the same boat, so it's really a matter of technical skills. You're not, it's not a
it's
matter of who has
rules.
A fancier boat.
Or better sailing skills.
You know what I mean?
It's like baseball. You have, It's the rules of baseball, it's the rules of sailing with the Olympics. But with the America's Cup, they can have a $1 million boat.
A million? These boats are $100 million boats.
No, but I'm just saying.
Right. But the point is, is it come out of a mold and they're the same mass, the same sails, and they're just in the Olympics, are they competing on skill? Not who has bigger budget for technology.
It's skill.
Right. Did you guys get that? The question that I'm asking over and over.
But yeah. I didn't understand the. I don't really understand the answer. So I still don't know. I mean, did you understand that?
The question that I'm asking is.
I understand
the
question.
Are you? Yeah. Are you racing this cup versus this cup because this team has more money in the America's Cup, which is a private race, or are you racing this cup versus an identical cup because it's got to be the same exact thing?
I understand the question. I didn't understand the answer.
I mean, the question was all about, Olympics have rules. America's Cup, you still have rules, but you can spend as much money as you want.
Right.
Just like a fishing boat.
Right.
You're throwing a javelin in the Olympics, it's the same javelin.
It's the same javelin. Yeah. Someone doesn't have an more aerodynamic javelin than the other.
They
don't have the javelin.
Size.
They don't have an edge because they have more money or, right.
You were looking for a yes or no answer and you weren't getting
it. He can't fucking do it. He has to be, because he's smarter than everybody else, and he can't fucking do it. He's got to, the point, I was just trying to get to the next point, was are they playing on the same playing field with the same exact equipment, or is it all over the, is it a technology race? Because in the Olympics, I would think that, but I didn't know, and I figured he would have the answer for me, and he could rattle it off.
Yeah. Right. Because rules are rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's either, it's one or the other, anyway. But yeah, this is a good podcast, Coyotes and Billy Joel.
Cape Ann Artisan Tour.
I didn't bring that up in the beginning?
No.
Okay. Cape Ann Artisan Tour is going on right now. By the time people listen to this, it'll be too late, but it is for Monday, because it's a holiday weekend, they're going into tomorrow till 5 o'clock at night. On the blog, there is a link to the map and instructions to go to all these awesome artisans.
And I went yesterday down Muscle Point because I love to see the horses down there.
The horses.
Spot has an amazing sculptures looking right out to Easton Point Lighthouse. It's just...
I'll try to go
it's,
over
it's
there
a beautiful location, and he's really good.
Yeah.
He's there doing stuff.
What is it that he does?
Sculptures.
With what?
With a metal. And I mean, he has a cormorant that faces out to Easton Point, and it's all...
Which one is this guy? What's his name?
Bot, Stuyf. He's from Holland.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
And it's it's just
spectacular. Very cool.
Spectacular. Wow.
Yeah, it's the location, too, just, and his work is a lot of fun to look at.
There you go.
And he's very kind to the little kids, showing them how he molds all the stuff.
Very nice.
All right. Well, go to the Cape. Support the Cape Ann Artisans. The end of the season for a lot of the... Well, a lot of them stay open year-round, but it's a good time to go and support our local artisans. Good day to do it. For Kim Smith, Donna Artizzoni, Tony's here, and Toby Pett. This is your host, Joey Shimataro. Gloucester Cast 154 in the books.
Thank you.